Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Jenna in person. Woohoo!
So much time has passed, but it's like no time has passed at all.
Exactly. It's very good to have you here. And with a book in hand and some recommendations for the good people at home, what's been happening in the shop? How's it going?
We're great. I've seen you guys a few times, but we've just been selling the all through level 3, and then now people can come in since level 3 stage 2, and now it's red light, but you can still come in, so but we have limited numbers in
nice.
The stores.
Got you.
But so I just recommend people come in as early as possible, because stuff is going out the door and it's not much is coming back in time for Christmas.
Okay, so it's sorted out now, kind of
sorted
Christmas
out
presents.
Now. But then also there's always an alternative. Like if you know, that's the how we do book selling, is that people will be like, do you have this? And we'll be like, no, but we've got this. Or
yeah.
Yes, and we've got this. So,
excellent.
Yes.
Well, what have you brought us this morning? Because it's got a beautiful cover. I've missed not being able to see the cover, actually. I have to do a little Google image search, but this is a beautiful one. Tell us a bit about it.
It doesn't feel as real until you're touching the cover. This is Lauren Groff's Matrix, which was one of my lockdown reads. And Lauren Groff, I think this is her fourth novel. It's the first one that I've read, and she writes about quite different things mm-hmm. each time, but very well regarded in the literary scene. And Matrix was longlisted for the National Book Award, which is an American book prize. So Matrix is set in the 12th century.
Ooh, going back a wee bit there.
Yeah, ye oldie times. And Groff has taken this figure called Marie de France, who was this the first female poet,
wow.
Published poet. And there's not much known about her, so Groff has taken the liberty of creating this entire narrative around her, which also involves a real person called Eleanor of Aquitaine, who was married to Henry II.
This is taking me back to my stage 3 medieval history paper I did to fill the like timetable requirements, and loved Eleanor of Aquitaine. She rocks. She's very cool.
She is an amazing character in this book. But our main character is Marie de France, and we start off with her at 17 years old. She's been kicked out of the court. Well, moved on from the court. She was in there by illegitimate means anyway, she was quite a wild, very tall. Someone describes her as 3 heads too tall, broad, and they just don't think she's going to get married. So they ship her off to an abbey to be a prioress.
Classic.
And when she arrives at the abbey, she was in France and she got moved to England. And when she arrives there, the nuns are starving, the gardens are like beer, you know, there's all this disease around, the nuns aren't collecting rent from the people who are renting off them, and it's just in disrepair. And so it's quite this amazing story of this woman Marie just whipping the abbey into shape and shipping it into a well-earning, well-fed, happy as can be in medieval times, a group of nuns.
Nice. That sounds like an unlikely story to be kind of like a summer hit, but really cool nonetheless.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like, well, Groff describes that, you know, I guess living in Trump's America, she just wanted to get as far away as possible.
Yeah.
So she went all the way back. And it is a feminist story.
Cool.
It's, there's barely a male who is mentioned in this, and it's just about how they get along. But there's things that go on, because it's not a very long book. It's about 250 pages, so it kind of captures the cyclical nature of one's life, and then also like Catholicism and like seasons and people coming and going and life and death, etc. And also kind of the starts of some climate change stuff in terms of like all the trees that are being cut down at that time. And,
cool.
So it's kind of repetitive, and it has this beat to it, which I guess what you would have is in the life of a nun.
Mm.
But then there's also these like deep, intense scenes. And especially with Marie, over her whole lifetime, which is captured in this book, well, from 17 onwards, this like hoping that Queen Eleanor will take her back. So she's writing her these letters. And there's a really amazing face-to-face scene between the two of them, because they're still, the Abbey's still under that control.
Got you.
And, you know, like, threatened of paying more tax and stuff.
Awesome. This sounds like a really cool book. And what's the writing style like? Because sometimes I think people hear, okay, the book is set in medieval times. Am I going to be wading through some Shakespeare? Or what's the sort of style of writing?
I feel like it's really contemporary. Like, it feels like it has contemporary ideas in this medieval book. And in terms of the dialogue is only described. It's not
written
out. And it has this great beat to it. She's a really wonderful writer. It was quite a tunnel and quite meditative. I actually listened to it and I found it really... And the person that read it had this like kind of Dawn French style voice, and I just I could see it being, I know we say this about lots of books, I could see it being a really great TV series, like a limited series, and it's all grey and dark and you know, these sort of sweaty nuns and ginormous ginormous Marie. There's things that happen that are really violent. There's diseases that come in. There's, I guess, the only the male things that come up is that there's some like pregnancies and stuff. But you know, it's great. I just thought, and it's funny.
Cool. Yeah, okay. This sounds cool. Lauren Groff, Matrix. We have had some questions about Christmas books, including from in the studio here as well.
Yep.
What do you get for babies and for little kids? What's good at the moment on that list? Because I feel like there's always classics that people come back to that maybe they read in their childhood. But what would you get that's contemporary and cool at the moment?
For a child, I have a really great recommendation for a forever book. This is by Gavin Bishop, and it's one of those, I don't know if you saw those big books, there's Aotearoa Wildlife, and now there's Atua.
Oh, yes.
So it's like A2 size. It's big, and it's kind of encyclopedic, and it has Purako, it has kupu all the way through it.
Oh, wicked.
And so it's one that you would point and, you know, with a little kid, and as they grow older, they would take it on. I feel like it's a book to have on your bookshelf forever.
Oh, beautiful.
In terms of like babies, I would always go for a board book first, like little, you know, they're learning to turn their pages and stuff. And my favorite little series of board books are published by Gecko Press, and it's called Tickle My Ears, Bath Time for Rabbit, and there's one about being sore. And they just go through that, you know, like the baby interacts with the book. On the nighttime one, it kisses the little rabbit goodnight gives it a little pat. And that's so sweet. That's a really lovely gift for a baby.
That sounds awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jenna. It's lovely to have you back in the studio. We will see you in the shop soon, very soon, if people want to get their Christmas shopping sorted.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's so nice to be back. Weird, but great.
Weird, but great. Yeah. Very much the seasonal situation we're all going through. Hey, thanks, Jenna. See you later.
Bye.
That was Loose Reads.